So today we celebrate Ascension Thursday on Saturday night. This great feast of the Lord, the Ascension. So scripture tells us it was 40 days after Easter that Jesus walked and taught his disciples for 40 days. So that was this past Thursday. So traditionally this feast was celebrated on the Thursday, which then began that 9 days of prayer and preparation, the first novena that prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But this is maybe one of the most underrated celebrations and feasts and the events in the life of Jesus. And so, since so many people had quit coming to Holy Days of Obligation, Mother Church moved, or the bishops moved this feast to Sunday so that more people would celebrate this great feast, this conclusion of the Paschal Mystery. Now, oftentimes when we think about the Paschal Mystery, we think about the events of Holy Week, culminating in the resurrection on Easter Sunday. But it's really this feast today, this Ascension, when Jesus rises, ascends body and soul into heaven, that completes that Paschal Mystery, the life-saving mysteries of Jesus Christ, the mysteries of Christ in which we are commissioned to go to the whole world and proclaim. That mission that we heard about in the gospel today, the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. These are the last words of Jesus before he ascended, according to Matthew's version. To go and teach all that I have commanded you, teach all nations, baptizing them, to observe all that I have commanded you. This completeness of the words of Jesus, the fullness of which the church has been commissioned to teach. And so we celebrate with great joy this ascension of Jesus into heaven. You know, it says that the disciples were looking up and they saw him ascending into heaven. You know, we don't really have the best words when we speak about the spiritual realities. It wasn't like he got on some, like, divine elevator and was floating up that way. You know, the way in the Jewish mind and in that age when they talked about the heavens, there were layers to heavens. Like, we see one layer of heaven right now, the clouds and the sun. And then at nighttime, we see that next layer of the stars. But then the third level of heaven, where Jesus ascended to, is that spiritual reality where God dwells. And so in some way, we have to communicate that with our words. And so we have this vertical understanding of Jesus ascending into heaven. But he was lifted up. He mounted his throne, as we say. He was glorified. He returned to the Father. You know, he left the Father in the incarnation and began the salvific work of the Messiah. And today it ends. And so with great joy and anticipation, we sit and we watch and we pray. As Jesus tells them, not yet, wait and pray for the power of the gift that I will give you. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. They had no idea how long it would be. So they were anticipating joyfully this unveiling, this unleashing of the power of the Spirit. And the word power that comes up in the readings as we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's the word where we get the word dynamite. So the power of the Holy Spirit should be like dynamite in our lives. So we're in the midst of this novena, which started yesterday. And every day we're begging the Holy Spirit to come anew, to fall afresh into our lives. So next Sunday, we should be truly expecting, again, a dynamic explosion of grace in our life and in our family. Because Jesus now reigns. He sits supreme at the Father's right hand. And that's that image of he mounts his throne. That the king got up off the throne. He went to battle. He conquered his enemy. And now the king has come back to the castle. And he can mount his throne and reign supreme. Christ has conquered the evil one. Christ has conquered the power of death. And because of our baptism, we've been brought into this new life of Christ. And now we have the same power of the Holy Spirit living within us. And this is really what we're celebrating in these days, this unleashing of the power of God in our lives. And this great commission that the apostles were given. All authority in heaven was given to Jesus. And he sent his apostles out in the same way that he was sent. If you go to the end of John's gospel, that's what he says. As the Father sent me, now I send you. How was he sent? All authority on heaven, on earth. Why can we trust the church? Why can we be humble and docile and obedient even when they make us do things that don't always seem to make sense? It might go against what is our natural proclivity. Because all authority in heaven has been given to the church. And the things that Mother Church does is to help us get to heaven. And so when the apostles are commissioned to teach, that they not only learn, but to observe. Just like parents who teach their children to follow the rules, when we are obedient to Mother Church, we become saints. When we die to whatever is important in our own life, and we allow the desires of our Heavenly Father to be first in our heart and in our mind and in our choices, when we can put other things in front of ourselves, this is what makes us saints. And this is what changes the world. When we, as St. Paul says so often, die to the old man and let the new man live within us. And the reason we can have hope, have confidence in that, is because the second person of the Holy Trinity became man. And when he died and rose and ascended, he brought our humanity to heaven. And so in one sense, that elevator image is not completely wrong, because Christ is the head and we are the body. So a very basic image. If I get on the elevator, my head, if I'm on the first floor, I'm going to the second floor. My head gets to the second floor before my body does. But my head's going, so I know my body's going. That's a very simple imagery. But it really is that simple. When I stay connected to Jesus, I will be where he is. And this is what we're celebrating today. That where the head is gone, the body is sure to follow. So this is our celebration, our feast of hope. So do we believe this? And maybe this is our takeaway. Look back over these last few weeks. What fear and anxiety have I allowed to strangle the hope in my life? Or have I lived in joyful anticipation of the coming glory of God? No matter how or when I die, I'm going to heaven. And that's what we're made for. We're not made for this earth. We're not made for this world. We're made to live well in this world so that we can go to heaven whenever that moment comes. I know so many of us have seeming to be grasping so tightly to this world, so afraid of what might come. Ask for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life to awaken the hope within you, so that you can live with the Father in heaven forever. In that second reading, St. Paul has this beautiful prayer. It was his prayer for the church in Ephesus. It's his prayer for us today, and it's my prayer for us today, especially as we prepare for Pentecost next week. Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accordance with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He put all things beneath his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. This is the hope for which we live. This is the hope for which we die. Let this be a true hope, a true life, a true death for us. So when that day comes, we will live with the Father in heaven forever. Amen.